Chapter 7. Don't bother coming. I don't need you. Tara's text flashed across Darcy's phone. She stared at it in disbelief. The party. Earlier, Darcy couldn't stop thinking about it. But with the news about the baby, Cooper's surprise party had been shoved from her mind. For an hour, Darcy had listened to her parents trying to talk their way through a maze with no exits, no safe places, no easy options. No matter where Darcy went in the small house, their words filled the air, bled into the hallways, and dominated her thoughts. What kind of life would he have? How would we afford his care? What about the girls? Is it fair to them? The question stopped Darcy in her tracks more than once until she fled with Jamie into her sister's messy room and closed the door. That's when Tara's text arrived, slicing through the jumble of Darcy's thoughts. Oh, no, Darcy groaned. Cooper's party. I can't believe I forgot. Tara's never going to forgive me. Just tell her what happened, Jamie suggested. You know she'll understand. Or at least she better. I mean, how can't she? Honestly, I don't know that she will. Not after everything. Why? What's wrong? I don't even feel like explaining it right now, Darcy said. Fine, Jamie huffed, looking hurt. Darcy grabbed her phone and called Tara to explain, but she didn't pick up. Darcy tried again. Jamie eyed her carefully. You think she's ghosting you? She asked as the call went to voicemail. Maybe. If she's that mad, skip the party and talk to her later, Jamie advised. She's scary when she's angry. Darcy hung up and dialed again, but there was still no answer. She texted Tara a quick message. Can we talk? Again, there was no reply, though she could see the message was delivered. Darcy knew Tara watched her phone constantly. She was certain Tara had seen each call and message. Part of her felt bad she had been unable to help with Cooper's party. On a normal day, Darcy would keep calling to explain to Tara why she didn't show up. But after everything that happened, Darcy didn't want to. Instead, something new began to pulse through her fingers. A tremor of anger. Tara's constant dismissal, her rude, one-sided comments, her unanswered text messages and ignored calls on this, the worst possible day. Darcy felt like throwing her phone. She knew she had broken her promise to Tara, but it wasn't on purpose. Yet increasingly, she felt as if Tara had done the same to her. She had been distant for weeks. She only seemed to care about one thing anymore, Cooper's party, and had no trouble ignoring anything and anyone else. She had been mean and disrespectful about the college program, and now she didn't even try to find out why Darcy had been late. It was as if she didn't care what happened in Darcy's life, that she had stopped caring weeks ago. Or was it longer? Darcy had bottled up these feelings and told herself Tara would return to normal after the party, but now she wasn't sure. What if she was wrong? There was only one way to find out, one way to share her side of the story. One way to know if the damage to their friendship was as bad as she feared. Darcy gripped her phone and rose from Jamie's chair. Where are you going? Jamie asked. The party, she said. You coming? It was almost 7 o'clock when Darcy and Jamie made their way to Cooper's house. Wish me luck. Going to Coop's party 4 hours late. Hope T doesn't kill me. Wish you were here. Darcy texted Hakeem as she and Jamie neared Cooper Street. Even from the far end of the block, Darcy spotted Tara's decorations on the outside of the stucco rancher where Cooper lived. A string of tiny Christmas lights had been draped around the front door and the outer wall, framing the home in glimmering lights. A banner, made from what looked like a charcoal bedsheet, stretched across the stoop next to the door. "Happy birthday, Coop," read the large, swooping silver letters, an oversized version of Tara's handwriting. Speakers set up in the tiny garage behind the house pumped hip-hop music into the night air. Cooper's old pickup was parked on the street, creating a space in front of the garage where a crowd of Bluford High students were gathered, some talking and laughing while others danced. Additional lights, hung between the house and the garage, made the party seem festive and inviting. Darcy wondered how Tara managed to set up all the lights and decorations when she noticed several boys from the football team, including Steve Morris and Roylan Bailey, huddled together as if they were at practice. She figured they had helped. Here and there, Darcy saw other students she knew from Bluford, and she could see they recognized her, too. Dez, Cooper's younger brother, locked eyes with Jamie as they approached the squat metal fence that separated Cooper's yard from the sidewalk. "Great. Just the person I did not want to see," Jamie mumbled under her breath. "Can we make this quick?" Darcy nodded and opened the squeaky gate as Dez darted through the crowd and went inside. She knew Tara and Cooper, wherever they were, would soon know she had arrived. Darcy had no idea what she'd say to Tara, but it didn't matter. She needed to see her now. Inside the house, Darcy noticed glow-in-the-dark stars had been stuck to the ceiling. All of the furniture in the living room had been moved aside to make a space for dancing. Amidst piles of confetti, a small group of students, some familiar and some complete strangers, nodded their heads and raised their hands in rhythm to the beat as a rapper, a voice Darcy didn't know, spat out a rhyme. "Unwoke sleepwalkers all around us dozing. Gotta shake 'em and wake 'em. We are the chosen. I'm the live wire making a connection, a compass for a world that lost its direction." While Jamie stopped to listen and watch, Darcy weaved through the crowded living room to the kitchen, where she expected to find Tara. Instead, she nearly collided with a table holding a massive, mostly eaten cake. A portion of Cooper's face actually appeared in the icing on top. On the counter across from the table were bottles of soda, a paper plate full of leftover hamburgers, another with some cold hot dogs, and a tray with a few remaining pieces of chicken. Darcy realized Tara had prepared an enormous feast for Cooper and managed what seemed like a thousand details. Had she done it all alone? A twinge of guilt stabbed at Darcy's chest. Suddenly, the screen door opened and Cooper barged into the center of the kitchen. He was wearing a paper party hat and there was a badge pinned to his chest that read "Birthday Boy." He reached for a hamburger when his eyes met Darcy's. "What happened to you? Where you been?" he asked quickly, looking over his shoulder as if he expected to see Tara. "Long story. Happy birthday, Coop," Darcy said, hugging him quickly. "I need to talk to Tara." Cooper frowned. "Nah, I don't think that's a good idea right now. I know she's upset." "Upset? It's more than that, Darce. You stood her up. I ain't never seen her like this. Not about you, anyway." "That's what I came to explain. There's a reason. Whatever it is you gotta say, I don't want to hear it." The powerful voice slashed through the music and the noise of the party. Darcy turned to face Tara standing in the short hallway that led to the kitchen. Her lips were pressed tight over her clenched jaw, and her chin jutted forward. "Uh-oh," someone mumbled from nearby.
"Aw, snap."
A girl standing in the doorway where Cooper had just entered pulled out her phone as if she wanted to film them.
"Tara, please, I'm so sorry," Darcy began. "I would have been here, but girl, save it. You got no place here. I'm done with you."
"Tara, I said I'm sorry. I was planning to be here, but what? Your college stuff keep you late?" Tara said the word "college" as if it disgusted her.
"I don't even want to hear it. It wasn't that. Darcy, I have never asked you for anything. For months, I listened to every dumb little thing you needed to talk about, even when you were going on and on about Hakeem all summer. I tried to be excited about this college thing, even though whenever you talk about it, it's like you can't wait to leave us all behind."
"That's not true," Darcy yelled as Tara moved closer. Her words, "dumb little thing," were like stabs. Darcy was shocked Tara had said them. The kitchen seemed to have grown smaller, as if the walls shrank inward so that Tara and Darcy were cornered. People nearby crammed close to see what would happen next.
"Tara,"
Cooper tried to cut in, but was immediately silenced.
"No, let me finish," Tara snapped.
She took a deep breath, and when she continued, her eyes were glistening and there was hurt in her voice.
"I needed you, and I told you that. It's the one thing I asked, and you weren't there. So if that's how it is, I'm done."
"Tara, listen."
"No, Darcy, you listen," Tara fumed. "You promised me. Maybe that don't mean much to you, but it means everything to me. You didn't even show up until I told you not to be here. I bet you completely forgot with all your college stuff. Like I said, you can't wait to leave us behind."
"Tara, you got it all wrong," Darcy protested, reeling from Tara's tirade.
"You know what? I don't even care no more."
Tara's voice sounded different,
like something broke inside, as if something she once believed in was no longer true. I've been doing a lot of thinking about stuff lately, about my life and things that have happened to me. Come on, T, Cooper said gently, moving to her side. You don't need to do this now. It's a party, remember? Tara blinked as if she was forcing back tears, but then pressed forward. I've been realizing that some of the stuff I've been doing isn't the best for me, she said, nodding to herself. And I'm seeing this friendship maybe isn't what I thought it was, Darcy. Took me a while, but I gotta admit, it's always been one-sided. Me doing all the giving, you doing all the taking. What? The air suddenly felt too hot to breathe. Waves of anger and hurt boiled through Darcy, searing her insides. Tara, you don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, I know, all right. I see you. The truth is, Darcy, you're kind of selfish. All you care about is your stuff, your future, your college plans. You ain't got time for nothing else. When's the last time you even asked me? About anything I'm going through? I try, and you shoot me down every time, remember? All you ever talk about anymore is this stupid party. Darcy winced as the words flew from her mouth. She knew they were wrong, and that she didn't mean how they sounded, but it was too late. They hit the room like a bomb. Cooper recoiled as if he had been slapped hard in the face. Tara's jaw dropped. That's just wrong, someone in the crowd grunted. Someone else hissed. Cooper, I'm sorry, Darcy said quickly, trying to control the damage. I didn't mean that. This has nothing to do with you or this party. Girl, you better leave, or things are gonna get ugly in here real quick, Tara warned. Cooper stepped in between the girls then. Tara, you don't want to do this, please. Darcy stared at her old friend, the person she had trusted with her secrets, the one who'd been there after Grandma died and Jamie had run away. Somehow a dagger had sliced deep into their friendship, had cut it to the bone. Looking at Tara, Darcy didn't know how it started or where it came from or how to stop it. And after everything Tara said and the sadness of the day, Darcy wasn't sure she wanted to. Come on, Darce, Jamie said, tugging on her arm. We should go. Darcy eyed Tara, her jaw locked and tight, and then looked at Cooper. He nodded yes at Jamie's words, even as he stood in Tara's way. Hey, y'all, turn Savon's music back up. Everything's cool, Des yelled into the crowd. This is supposed to be a party. Bass pulsed into the air, and people began to leave the crowded kitchen. Darcy turned, lowered her head, and shouldered her way out into the cool black night.